Good morning, everyone, and it's a cold, cold day on the Mid-North Coast, and I'm sure out west there's all kinds of frost around. I'm sure tomorrow we'll hear about it. Today I want to start our talks about the book of James, but first some background. James is a hard-hitting book with clear words of instruction and correction. You might even think he's a little bit agitated. But I personally believe he's looking at the early church and how they're living, and he's just simply saying they can do better than that. So who is this man, James, that makes him think that he can take on the responsibility of instructing the early church? Well, that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for the beautiful day. It's cold, but that's okay. Thank you for your blessings. Now, God, open our eyes as we walk through the book of James. Teach us something that just might change our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Historians tell us that James was the half-brother of Jesus. Mary was his mother. Joseph was his father. And if you recall, God himself was the father of Jesus. But James wasn't always impressed with his older brother. Early on in the ministry of Jesus, where we see that Jesus' family come along and they ridicule and almost make fun of him. I'm sure with James, that little brother mentality was probably pushing him a little bit. Most people think that James became a follower of Jesus when he saw Jesus rise from the dead. I guess when you see your brother cruelly crucified on a Roman cross and then rise again in 3 days, well, that'll change you. James then became a very strong leader in the early church. And he was one of the deciding voices that gave Paul the okay to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So in a very real sense, James had a huge part in you and I hearing the gospel. That's just how important that James is. You may wonder when this book was written, and I really think it's important. So, and those who study these things say that James was written within the first 10 years after Jesus ascended back to heaven. So you could probably say this is probably one of the very first books, if not the first book of the New Testament. James was the Lord's brother. And in that early date, his thoughts were vivid and fresh. Those memories still shook him. In the book of Acts, we can see Luke recorded for us how the early church began. And James tells us how the early church was progressing after persecution sets in. But there's some things I want you to keep in mind. Those who believed and followed Jesus were Jews when James wrote his book. They didn't have any Christian theology to follow as we do. Paul had not written his books of instruction. So all they had was Jesus and what he said and taught. What a thing. One more thing. These early group of Jews, Christian Jews, there were very few. We know that several thousand were saved at Pentecost, but those people were from all over the known world. And after Pentecost, they all dispersed back. And there was more Christians being saved, but there was very few within the culture. It was a lonely place, and they were not well accepted. So the going was rough for the early Christian Jews, and it just got worse as persecution ramped up. So how did they respond to their hard lives? Well, we know that the earliest Christians didn't back up from their goal of preaching Jesus. Do you remember what happened when Peter and John were warned not to preach in the name of Jesus? They went back to their home church and reported to them, and then a prayer meeting broke out. And listen to what they prayed in Acts chapter 4. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They didn't pray, Lord, give us peace and keep us safe. They prayed, give us boldness and ignite our passion for Jesus and guide us with your powerful hand. Watch how God responds in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. God reached down and he literally shook the building where they were, and the Holy Spirit ignited their passion for Jesus. Following this, heavy persecution broke out, and the church was scattered around the world. And those who were scattered were the ones that James wrote to. Look at the first verses. Verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. Now let's take a look at the first bit of information that James gives. But keep in mind that this group of people were persecuted, and the persecution was getting harsh. Verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Stop just a minute. Do what? Let me read that again. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Consider it joyful in hard times? Doesn't make common sense. Well, how do you do that? Well, before I say more, let me just explain that James is just echoing the words of his big brother. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So when you're persecuted for your faith, and you endure it with joy, our reward in heaven just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. For us, we often fall into complaining when the persecution starts. James and his big brother Jesus says, don't do that. And James gives us one more benefit of being joyful in hard times. Remember, he said, in hard times brings patience. He then writes in verse number 4, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Patience is the first step to perfection in the Christian walk. Let me say it again. Patience is the first step to perfection in the Christian walk. Patience. It's so important. Being patient also suggests that you trust God for the outcome of your struggle. Well, how are you going with that? Well, I'll be honest. I'm learning this lesson, but I still have a way to go. It's a long, hard lesson. So keeping these things in mind, there were only a few believers scattered around the known world. It was a lonely place for believers. Secondly, the persecution got so bad that the Christians and their families had to run for their own safety. Some would even begin to die, and James, the author of this book, would very soon after completing his book, he would be martyred for his faith in Jesus. Perhaps as we go through this, we can learn a few things on just how to be a true blue Christian, regardless of the circumstances. So next week, we'll begin to walk on through the book of James. Some of the things that we'll look at is firstly, James will tell us about wisdom and how to use it. He then mentions the rich and comfortable are cursed and the poor and needy are blessed. Do I? Well, James explains. He then goes after our attitude. Do you have a problem with anger? Well, please keep in mind that our anger is a waste of time in the sight of God, and James explains why. And finally, he talks about religion, and we all know that as it's defined today, it really is not good for you. But when it is correctly defined, it's a good thing. James tells us what religion is and why it's good. And it's not what you're thinking. And all of this is in the first book, the first chapter of the book of James. So throughout the week this week, read James chapter 1. Read it over and over till you can get your head around what James is saying. But listen, as we approach the book of James, I'd like for all of us, me included, to open up our lives and our hearts for examination and change. There's no need looking into the Bible for instructions to live if we have no intentions to apply what we see. So ask God to give you strength and courage to open your life to Him for a healthy rework and perhaps revival. Do you want revival in your life? We've all been praying for revival, and it could be that this study in the book of James might be the beginnings of a great revival in our life and in our church. God, send us your revival. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us open our minds and our hearts to you and let you do as you choose to make us more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.